accession number 20472, reel 3.
Let's turn them reel 3.
The reason why I thought so much of the Salvation Army is they always sort of come to you. And even in Korea, they had the Salvation Army out there. In fact, one of them got the MBE, for whatever, I don't know. But no, I'm not a Salvation Armyist, but I do think a lot of them.
Were you as happy in Albion as you were in Theseus?
Not so happy, I don't think. I enjoyed my job on the flight deck. The job I was doing on the Theseus, I thoroughly enjoyed. I was out in the fresh air. It wasn't all being whatever the temperature was. I wasn't trapped below all the time. But on the Albion, of course, I was watchkeeping and I was below all the time. So I think of the ships, I liked it. It was the same as St. Vincent. I was outside working in boats and things like that. So the Albion, no, I didn't. I didn't want to run away or anything like that, but I was happier on the previous first two ships. And again, I was on that for about 2 years, till 56.
Did all those new arrangements for the flight deck work better than they had in the Theseus, do you think?
Well, obviously it was less manpower because you didn't have anybody to either man the bats or the barriers and things like that. I suppose it's progress. You've got to say, yes, it was obviously better, and it cut down on aircraft accidents because with no barriers, I mean, as I think I've said, that if an aircraft didn't catch one of the arrestivires, it went straight up the angle deck and off again. Whereas, of course, if an aircraft missed the arrestor wires on the ships of the Theseus type, it was into the barrier or even into the deck park. So it was obviously progress. I mean, now they don't even use that. I mean, with the modern carriers with vertical takeoff, they don't have arrestor wires, barriers, Batman or anything. So it's moved on another stage.
And when you finished in Albion?
When I finished in Albion, I came home on leave and I went direct to another ship. I was actually posted to a destroyer that was going into mothball in Southampton called HMS Petard. Very famous ship, had a lot of long history behind it. It was one of the it was the only ship destroyer in the war that sunk a Japanese, Italian and a German submarine. It sank one of each. And it also got the Enigma machine, the four-drum Enigma machine, which had the naval codes, which it rescued. But we was putting it into mothball. The guns were being cocooned and boiler rooms and engine rooms. And we was really supervising the dockyard workers that were doing it. And we stayed in civilian digs in Southampton, which was another first for me, because we could go ashore then in civvies, because we only worked from our civilian digs into a civilian dockyard. Not like now where there were security things, it's just that we were civilians living in a civilian environment. And we stayed on that, being put into mothball for something like 6 months, and she was eventually towed down to Devonport. We towed her, took us a day and a night to get down to Devonport where it was put in the reserve fleet. And then I came back from there and went on to HMS Bellerophon, which was the reserve fleet in Portsmouth, which was the old cruiser Liverpool in those days. And from there I was posted on trials crew on a frigate that the Portuguese Navy was going to buy. And we took it out on trials. That was the Morecambe Bay, HMS Morecambe Bay. And then after the trials were completed, the Liverpool was scrapped and the Vanguard, a battleship, came in as the reserve fleet, HMS Bellerophon. And it was really a case of going round the ships in what they call the trot, which is really the disposable part of Portsmouth Dockyard, making sure they was pumped out, you know, they didn't sink in their moorings and things like that, until such times as I was discharged from the Navy.
The Trot, it's called?
It is called the Trot, yeah. It's really a finger of water off of Portsmouth Harbour. They've all got them, all the harbours. And ships that are due for disposal or going into reserve, permanent reserve, they're put up there and moored up there with no crews on, they're just put up there. And usually from the, in our case, was the Bellerophon, which was the Liverpool. We go up on a harbour launch and go around the ship and make sure the bilges were dry.
How do you feel now about having served in the Post War Navy?
Finest club in the world. I've never regretted a moment of it. I suppose perhaps, as I said before, you get a bad day. Everybody gets bad days. But in hindsight, the places I went and the people that I met, I think it's one of the finest things that have. I never ever regretted it. I think that's why there's such a large Royal Naval Association. You don't get the army except for the British Legion. Very many army places, but you get RNA clubs all over the country, in fact the world, because Matlows tend to stick together. They've got the same sense of humour. They've all lived in the same conditions. As we used to say, we're in a steel town with no women, because in those days, of course, they didn't have wrens on board. Everything was done by men. And it was a steel town. You cooked, you washed, you sewed, you done everything. And the whole lot. And I never, ever regretted it. And in fact, when I came out of the Navy, I was very, very unsettled from having that life, that regimented life. I was very unsettled and I was going to join the New Zealand Navy. But I also, at the same time, was about to get married. And my wife's mother wouldn't let her go. So the next thing I'd done is I joined the Fire Brigade. And I was 11 years in the Fire Brigade, which was really like the Navy again. Because, again, it was all men. But the nice thing about it is 6 o'clock at night, you could go home because the other shift come on. And, again, that was all service people. So the same sort of humour came out. You were stuck together. In those days, we used to do a 9-hour day and a 15-hour night. And it sort of carried on from that.
Do you think that service life spoils you for civilian life then?
I don't think it spoils you. Spoils not the word. It makes you very self-reliant. Nearly, you will never find a starving ex-sailor. He will know how to cook. He will know how to sew. 9 times out of 10, he'll know how to clean his shoes. And he can sleep on the floor. I think it makes you so self-reliant. It doesn't spoil you at all. It doesn't give you anything. It makes you self-reliant. And I think a lot of people, and I think even people that were national servicemen, although they complained about their time in the forces, I think they got a lot from it.
But do you think it makes you discontented with civilian life?
But possibly in some ways, you know, you'd say, we used to do it that way in the Navy, you do it this way in the forces, in Civvy Street. So, but whether your way was the right and this is the right, I don't know. But no, I never regretted my naval life and I never regretted my fire service life.